The one, let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Well, we'll just continue the series we started on Sunday, the honor culture, right? The honor culture. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And looking at for the next few weeks into the next month. Like I said, it's going to probably spill over into the next month, but trust in God's spirit that we would do as much as we need to do, right? To ensure that, you know, we say what we need to say. Like I said on Sunday, one of the things that, you know, is very important to me as a pastor is to ensure that us to see that or to put ourselves in a position where we are known as people of honor. Altogether, it's very important. Look at Romans 15. Yeah, look at Romans 15 quickly. Romans chapter 15 and then go all the way to verse 4. Hoping and trusting that you have the right culture, you have the right practice. Well, today's going to be the last time I'm going to be, you know, bothered about who is cooking and who is not cooking. And, you know, just ensure you have the right materials either way and ensure that you're following appropriately this beautiful evening. All right. So if you look through Romans 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the honor culture, like Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Right, look at that one more time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Right, if you look at verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now if you look carefully, you will see what Paul is emphasizing here in from verse 4, that things were written aforetime. Okay, so Romans is not the beginning of scriptures, right? So the people in Rome would have what you call the scriptures that they would have knowledge regarding. And Paul will say, right, that these things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So it means that we would learn from the things that were written aforetime. You get the point? Yeah? We will learn from things that are written aforetime. Very, very important. Yeah. So if you look through verse 4 again, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Very, very, very important. Okay, so the reason for our learning that I might have hope. So I said something on Sunday. I said that I said it over time, obviously, that, you know, the examples we read in the writings of scriptures, the writings of the prophets, are examples to us. And I think one of the things I usually say is that if for every example, you see an example of who to become, or an example of who not to become. You set an example of how to behave or an example of how not to behave, right? Very, very important, right? So they were written aforetime for our learning, right? In looking at those examples, we know how to behave. We know how not to behave. So it means from every example, every story, we have something to learn from. You get the point, right? When we read through scriptures, we ensure that we have a mindset of learning. So we started looking at a few things in Romans chapter 12 as well, Sunday. Look at Romans 12 and if you look at verse 9, Romans 12, 9. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. About that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, right? So scripture says in honor, right? Be kindly affectionate one to another, in honor preferring one another. Now it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We said, not slothful in business, there is not as much speaking about your career, your, you know, your finances and your, whatever it is, your business world or in entrepreneurial life, right? It's in as much as you shouldn't be slothful in that. But Romans, and Paul's emphasis in Romans 12 really is actually about service, fervency in the things of God, the things of ministry, and what have you. So he says, ensure that there's an attitude of being kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, right? In honor, preferring one another. So we started looking at the concept of honor. What is honor? Now we said honor. You must have written that on Sunday, but I'll say it again. Yeah, honor means to regard or to treat something or someone with admiration. Honor means to regard or treat something or someone with admiration. You get the point, right? Yeah, we said honor means to regard or treat something or someone with admiration, regard, and respect, right? It means to treat as uncommon. We saw that again. We said to treat as uncommon or to treat as sacred. I went together. To treat as uncommon or to treat as sacred, right? So we said as believers, we need to learn the practice, the culture of honor. I want to get a honor for relationships, honor for places. We said this on Sunday, honor for people, honor for relationships, honor for places, honor for, what do you call it, authorities, right? Honor for commitment. We mentioned that as well again on Sunday, right? In the previous series we looked at, the Christian meetings, we slightly paid attention to honor for places, right? Our meeting places. How do we treat our meeting places? I want to get that. How do we attend meetings? How do we prepare for meetings? How do we come early to meetings? How do we listen in meetings? How do we pay attention in meetings? How do we avoid distractions in meetings? How do we ensure that we don't get ourselves distracted? How do we ensure that, you know, we get the best out of meetings? You know, look at that properly. And that just, it can be summarized as having honor for meetings. I'm saying, if you're going to have honor for meetings, it means you have honor for God's men. It means you have honor for the people that God will, because in meetings are made up of people that will be men. Altogether, right? You know, so there's a practice of honor for our meeting places. There's a practice of honor for the place we meet, for the place we fellowship in, for the place we have interaction with other believers. Very important, very important. Someone brought my attention to a video of a minister who, you know, walked out of a stage because, you know, someone's phone rang, you know, like I would always say, right, a lot of those things just, I tend to just stumble on them. People just send them to me and all of that, you know. And whilst I, you know, the person was asking for feedback and all of that, it wasn't somebody who I believed was, let me stop all of that. Yeah, but the truth is that that expression of allowing, you know, one's phone to ring in a meeting like that is actually dishonorable. I went together, right? You know, I said this in one of our meetings a few weeks ago during Christmas meetings, right? Yeah, it's one thing that your alarm rings, right, on a Sunday morning, right? For instance, we're going to be starting midweek service physically now. You might have been used to setting alarms by 7 o'clock, right? So it means that as you're listening to me right now or after this meeting, you must take a note or a mental note that your alarm at 6:45 or 6:50 should go off or should be cancelled. Do you get the point, right? Yeah, and that your mind was setting an alarm for 6:30 or 6:45 ahead of meeting that used to be at 7 o'clock, right? That your mind was setting that, and now that has changed, does not give us an excuse for us to have our alarms going up and about, in our midweek services, for instance, going forward, starting physically. Altogether, what am I really just saying about that? There's such a thing called having honor for a place. I mean, you know, it's one thing for you to, you know, put your phone away, put your phone on silence, you know, before you go into church, always make it a practice. In fact, if I don't have alarms to put off your phone or put your phone on silence whilst going into church, you know, it's one thing to, you know, have all of those practices just to ensure that, you know, you give as much reverence for our sake, for our unity, for to avoid distractions. I can tell you for free. See, in case you don't know this, I've heard of preachers who, once they start preaching, nobody stands up to go out altogether. And I'm talking, you know, some of us like to be very pathetic in our thinking, where we see certain practices and we attribute it to being black or being Africans or being Nigerians. It's so ridiculous when I see those things, I hear those things. When you see, you know, certain things being taught, and you think it's because the person who is teaching it is a South African, a black person, you know, that's just so pathetic and ridiculous altogether. And the person I'm actually talking about is not even close to 90. He doesn't even have any lineage connection with Africa, close to Africa or anything altogether. The popular man, you all know him. He's known as a healing evangelist. Right, and it's a law on instruction when he starts preaching. Nobody, so I even heard that, you know, I've never attended his meetings, but I heard a lot of times when he wants to have certain meetings, right, he gives the members of the church a few minutes to go out and ease themselves and a few minutes to switch off their phones or put their phones on silence. Are we together? That once he starts preaching, no one is allowed to stand up to walk out of the place. Yeah, you know, if someone hears someone like me say that now in our meeting, they'll say, why am I behaving like a Nigerian? Why am I behaving like a Yoruba boy? No, that's not the point, right? Why? You know something? There's something you all don't know in church, right? For every movement of anyone out of church and into church, yeah, you have a way of distracting me. That's the truth. Now, whilst we can tolerate it as we grow, the truth remains that it's not the normal. You get the point. You get the point. For every strength abrupt move out, you know, we have to tolerate it, obviously, because of the phase we are in right now. I'm trying to say a time will possibly come where we would have meetings, where we would have instructions. Okay, so there's another, the other local churches as well, that anybody who doesn't get the 25, my wife and I, you know, we attended, right? Yeah, there's anyone who doesn't get to church for time of service at 10 o'clock, you are locked outside. You don't come into the church for any meeting, to attend any Sunday service. Bless your heart to understand and see that these people are actually even growing in number. Let's assume that's what is making you think very pathetically. There's nothing wrong in that. That's the practice and culture of that place. You get the point, right? So when someone comes and says, no phone should ring, it's distracting. Yeah, it's distracting. It can distract. A lot of times I'll have to get my mind back to what I was saying. A lot of times I have to get my mind back to it. And that's why I say a lot of times, let me flip this way. I'll leave this for leaders, right? But you need to ensure that you are very deliberate in trying to minimize those things. And that's just honor for the local church, honor for the place. Our together, right? Very, very important. So we look at honor for a place, we look at honor for brethren, men, and all. We're going to look at that in details in this series, but I just thought to, you know, throw that somewhere in. We need to ensure we keep and reminding ourselves that we need to have a sense of honor for our meetings. Our together, yeah, we need to have a sense of honor for our meetings, right? When you go to an embassy, right, and your visa interview time, right, is at 3 o'clock and you're there at 11 o'clock, more often than not, in fact, you'll be praying and praying and praying and praying that, you know, you should not feel pressed. Our together, right? So that because someone in your mind, you're subconsciously thinking one way or the other, that, let me not be in the toilet when they call my number. You know, those kind of practices, those, you know, a lot of times you see lots of Christians bring honor into places, right? And I mean, there's nothing wrong in, you know, having that sense of honor for a visa interview place. But the kind of honor you're supposed to bring into the gathering of the saints, amongst the gathering of the saints in the local church, right? You don't do it in the local church, are we together? And you do it every other place except the local church. Altogether, right? So you need to ensure that you have that sense of honor, that sense of regard for our meetings. Are we together, right? You can have that sense of honor, you can have that practice. Yeah, you go, ease yourself before the service starts. Are we together and hold yourself till the service ends? Are we together? And if you are someone who, for instance, needs to use the toilet every five minutes in 1 hour, the truth is that we need to lay hands on you. Are we together? Because that's not normal. I'm not even being sarcastic. That's not normal. Altogether, you can hold yourself, you can comport yourself, you can be in church, get your mind there, honor every second of the meeting. Are we together, right? Honor every second of it. And if for any reason, right, you have to step out of the church, it's dishonorable, for example, in a church like us, where you step out from the church and you're not even looking to come back early. You're not even trying to rush out to come back early. You're not even trying to rush out and you're trying to switch into your, you know, your online mode or YouTube to get yourself to sort out the things you need to sort out and get back into church right immediately, right? It's a sign of dishonor as well. And we're together, right? Because if you honor what God is doing in the church through his men, you will understand that every minute, every second counts in every meeting. And we're together. So you can program your mind to give the best of honor for what it is. Altogether. So we've looked at honor for meeting places emphatically. We will not look at it again as much in this series. That's why I just mentioned, you know, that comment by the side, you know, but we'll look more for more at honor for men, different kinds of men and different kinds of relationships. Now, one of the things we said on Sunday was that in this free world and woke generation we find ourselves, we subtly resolve and settle our minds into positions where we think that because we all have the Spirit of God, it means that everybody is the same. Are we together, right? You know, I also hear people talk about a honor, true honor is in the heart. Let me tell you something, right? Honor starts from the heart. Are we together, right? But honor does not end in the heart. That's the truth. Are we together? Yeah, honor. You can't claim to honor your wife and all your conduct. You can't claim to honor your husband and all your conduct, right, are away from honor. Are we together? You can't claim to honor your siblings. You can't claim to honor your parents and everything you are doing, all the actions you do, the kind of things you see, the kind of words you see, they negate a true life, a true heart of honor. Are we together? Right? So it's very important to ensure that the practice of honor is something you wrap your heart around. all together. You wrap your hand, your mind around. You wrap your soul around, right? Right? You get yourself, you know, in proper checks and balance. I said something again on Sunday, right? There are consequences of dishonor, right? Remember I said that on Sunday? There are consequences of dishonor. Are we together, right? And I gave two examples. We're going to look at them in details going forward. Are we together, right? You know, you hear people say things like, certain things happen because it was a dispensation of the law. Then now some things cannot happen now because we're in dispensation of the grace. Yeah, can you hear yourself, please? Are we together? Certain things don't happen because we're in dispensation of the grace. And you know, when we say these things, listen to me carefully, right? When we say these things, we're not trying to put fear in your heart. We're trying to ensure that you give yourself brain. You get the point? That you give yourself a brain, that you give yourself sanity, that you ensure that you place sanity as a primary feature of your life. It's not to get you scared. Are we together? It's to ensure you put your heart in the right place. Like we've said over time, man's method, God's method rather, will always, 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 always be man, no matter how flawed man is. Are we together? No matter how flawed man is, man's method, God's method will always win. So when we look at examples, I remember we gave two examples on Sunday. We said there was a man called Moses. He had two siblings. Are we together? Aaron and Miriam. Are we together? Right? Yeah. And you know what happens? A lot of times I think I heard this somewhere. I can't remember where I heard it from. It says over familiarity breeds content. What's the word? Content. No, it can't be content. I'll get that word back on Sunday. Overfamiliarity breeds content. Is that a word? I'll get it. Sorry. That just skipped me, right? Yeah. So when you start getting over familiar. Now, there's such a thing called being familiar with yourselves. You're familiar with your friends, familiar with your siblings. But the drawing line or the line needs to be drawn when it begins to get into over familiarity. We are a family, so we need to be familiar with ourselves. Now, correct? Together. But there's a thing called over familiarity. And it can happen as a result of relationships that are getting close. The more you see yourselves, the more you laugh with yourselves, laugh at jokes, share inside jokes together, the more you're getting familiar. But you must be careful to know that there's a thing called over familiarity. And brother and sister of Moses, I were together, right? And they will speak ill of Moses. I were together. And we see it recorded in scriptures that they got leprosy. And we see it recorded in scripture as well that it was Moses. And God's intervention in that conversation was like, didn't you see who you were talking about? Can't you figure who you were talking? Did you know what you said? Was it not too big for you? Can't you see who you're talking about? Remember the story of Abraham, for instance, right? Abraham, in the real sense, will find himself in what man would call flaw. He will lie about his wife. I went together to a man called Abimelech. I went together. And God will intervene in that relationship, in that conversation, and say, you dare not touch the woman. And the man will say, but the man told me that it's not his wife, it's his sister. And God will say, well, that man you are dealing with is a prophet. That is my vessel. You dare not touch that woman. You better return that woman back. Aha! Are we together? Yeah. Like I said on Sunday, yeah, the consequences of dishonor, right? I don't know. My theology has not gone to a point where I can ascertain and say that this is the reason, this is the one, these are the kind of dishonor you can recover from. This one, I don't know it yet. Probably, maybe I will know it in days to come. Right? And God will say, yeah, return that woman. Are we together? Return that woman. Return that woman. Yeah, do not touch that woman. Yeah, even though you can say Abraham, a man of God, right, did something he shouldn't have done. You get the point. Yeah, you get the point. Right? So same thing as well with Aaron and Miriam. Yeah, because of the relationship they had with their pastor, right, Pastor Moses, because of the relationship they had with so Moses will have a relationship with them, and in that relationship, there will be a sense of spiritual growth such that they will be capable enough to be made leaders in local assembly. You get the point? And in all of those doings, they will get over familiar. And what will happen? The dishonor, and what happens? We see leprosy in scriptures, right, and follow upon them. And we see the same Moses having to be the one. Right, having to be the one to pray. I heard of the story of a pastor, a preacher in our world today, still alive, breathing. Right, he went for a meeting. Right, and he gave an instruction in the church, probably for people to maybe put up their phones or to avoid the church and everything. And someone in their mind, I heard of the story. Right, someone in their mind. Right, they just said, "What's wrong with this? Well, what syphilis? What?" And they just said something dishonorable in their mind. And the moment they said that in their mind, that was the last words that could come out from her mouth. Altogether, such that the meeting finished, she became dumb all of a sudden. right? And it took the man, right, to go back and meet that woman, to lay hands on her, to pray for her dumpness to leave. What about that? I want to believe that's a born again lady for her to even come for that kind of meeting. You know, some people in our minds will just find, you know, maybe we need to check their born againness. Maybe the born againness is not genuine. why am I saying these things? So that you give yourself brain. Are we together, right? That happened in our world, in our 20th century world. I gave you an example of what happened in Moses' world, right? Now, Aaron and Miriam could leave, or they could be covered from leprosy. But there was another couple, and that's again, Acts chapter 4, 5. Are we together, right? And they dishonored Peter because it only takes a dishonorable heart for you to lie. See, yeah, if you want to lie in this world, it is terrible to lie. But you see, when you want to lie, at least if you will not lie, if you will choose a group for people not to lie, it's not good to lie. Oh. Don't lie. It's terrible to lie. It's a sin. It's devilish. But if you will prove or choose a group of people to lie to, not your pastor, not spiritual leaders. You know, I've given you examples several times. I've seen people lie to me evidently. And one of the things I've learned to do over time is I don't cringe. I don't shake when anyone lies to me, really. More often than not, I just act like, like nothing. Because first of all, some lies are not even smart enough. Some lies, even if they are smart, I can be discerning enough to know. At least you should know the little about that, right? You know, and I told you of a day my wife had to call me, after we're going back home one day, and I was like, how don't you cringe when you know that person was clearly lying to you, yeah, and that person has lied to you separately? Why don't you just there's that. But I can tell you for free, like I said, you don't know. Yeah, and a man and his wife will lie. They will choose to lie in their heart. They will go dishonor the man Peter, and guess what? They cannot live to tell the story. That means they could not live to recover. I said on Sunday, what is the difference between the recovery of Aaron and Miriam and the recovery, right, of Ananias and Sapphira? I will tell you, I don't have the theology that understands what happened in those two scenarios. But I can tell you for free that there are consequences of... So you need to ensure you get yourself in a place where you are sane enough so that you are not you don't use your life as a testimony. Now we're together, right? Because some people recover, some people don't recover. Very important. Let me tell you, for some of you, you might have heard the sins are forgiven for the first time in your life in God's palace. For some of you, this might be your first time ever you are exposed to what you call, proper paying attention to Bible study. For some of you, it might be the first time you are hearing the Greek word in Bible interpretation and even knowing how to learn Greek word. But the same person who is still telling you, I'm telling you, it's the same person that is telling you this other part of the scriptures. I won't call it the other part. It is a part of the scripture. I want to get that. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of the system and structure in the world. You get the point? I was together, right? So when you start hearing people, I used to tell you of some people, I used to be like that, in fact, some years ago. I remember there was a friend of mine, some of you know him, Simon, right? And he reached out to me we first had a conversation regarding this probably in 2013 or 2014, right? And the answers I gave, and it was just around, can a believer be oppressed? Can a believer be demon possessed and everything? And I was getting, introduced to gospel at the time, but the answer I gave those days, I know my answers today. In fact, we had a revisit on that conversation a few weeks or probably a few months ago, right? You see, the answer that I gave, I will be very unfair for myself to say that Christians who are definitely big, they are Christians who are serving Jesus, coming to Jesus, and their demon pull, and demons are tormenting them. It would be unfair for me to say that is just their mind. We need to just renew their mind. Some of them have a texture of mind and everything, but the truth remains that there are things that happen in this world. I would get that once we have the authority, we have the victory over the words of the devil, it's going to be very unfortunate for you as a Christian to live your life not acknowledging that in this world, there are supernatural activities that happen, both positively and both negatively. So my answers over the years has, sort of changed and become more realistic. And I think, when you've not casted out demons from someone before, it's easy for you to have a stand. But when you've casted out, I'm just trying to tell you, so this is years down the line, I've ministered to different kinds of sicknesses, ministered to different kinds of demon-possessed people, ministered to different kinds of, people. So I obviously, the experiences will, help in fine-tuning your acceptance of the reality of life. Do you understand? Right? That's the point. You get the point. What will you say of the people who will beat evangelists who are preaching, even in scriptures? Yeah, it was just them. No, there are things that happen. But in all of that, you must ensure that you have victory in Christ Jesus. And together, you have the authority in Christ Jesus. But that you have the authority does not mean that those things do not exist. You get the point? Yeah, so back to what I was saying, right? So when it comes to honor for men, honor as a concept, we need to ensure that we guard our hearts and ensure that we put our hearts in check. Now, some of us in our subconscious as well, one of the things we think about is that why do some of these things happen, right, amongst Black people, amongst Africans? That would be one of the greatest height of insincerity. It also has a very little touch of foolishness. You know why? Because a lot of times you might just be living within your circle. You don't know so much. How many places have you been to in your life? Do you understand? How many people do you know? Back to scriptures. Are we saying that just I'm going to get troublesome today? No, just come back. Okay. Yeah. Listen, don't get yourself, right? Don't get yourself tickled into the path of thinking that certain things only happen because we are from a certain part of the world or we have a certain skin color. I told you of a story of a man, right? I can tell you his name. What's his man? William Brandon, right? Is that the name? I think I mentioned the name a few weeks ago in church, right? Proper, fully American, right? And three friends came into his meeting. I went together, and they wanted to deceive him. Yeah, he so someone I told you of. How did the name just keep my mind? I think it's William. Yeah, yeah. And three guys came into the meeting, right, trying to deceive him. Right, what were they trying to deceive him? Fully, I mean, this is not happening in African soil. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So don't allow foolishness to get the best of you. Right. And three of them, fully Americans. Right. They went to that meeting to go and what? And mock the man of God. What did they go there to go? I can keep listing stories. Don't be foolish. Right. Yeah. And they went there, and one of them decided to offer himself as a sacrifice. Guess what? He went to the altar to collect the microphone. They were sharing testimony. And he said, praise the Lord, I came to this meeting. And, the man of God just ministered to me. And he said, my cancer has disappeared or something like that. Right? And man of God sensed it, descended by the Spirit. Right? And he sensed it and he said, no, you are lying. You never had cancer. The guy said, no, I have cancer. This is the truth. Oh, this is that. I have cancer. And he said, what? You know what? Yeah? Because you are lying. He said, because you are lying. Right, take cancer in front of the public because you are lying. Take cancer, and that one grew up in Yoruba land. He grew up in Igbo land. He grew up in Kenya because their minds are. Some of us believe that we are weaker people because of the things we do. They grew up. Is that what you say about that? And he got cancer right on the spot in the church meeting. Imagine people come to the church meeting and they're getting blessed. Yeah, you can tell. Let me tell you. Anybody listening to me today, whether you are from whatever part of the world you are in, whatever part of the world you are from, altogether, what we are teaching is not limited to a group of people. What we are, I told you, the reason why I'm teaching this for the first time was I had to take a step back. Yeah, in the last 5 years, and that's not exaggeration, last 5 years, I've had to take a step back to actually give myself some brain. Very, very, very important. Like I said, this is not to scare you. Right, but don't let anyone deceive you and tell you and make you feel like the reason why some of these things happen is because we are already built with fear from where you come from. No, that's not true. Yeah, honor. And I said something on Sunday. Honor and dishonor can never emanate from the Spirit of God. Are we together? Whatever part of the world you are from, dishonor cannot be something that you can be led by the Spirit to do. Let that sink, please. Let that sink. Let that sink. I know what I'm teaching you today is not for just your relationship with me as a pastor today in God's palace. No. Yeah. Anywhere you find yourself in the coming year, in the coming days, in the coming decade, in the coming century. Yeah. The principles you take, your honor for Christian meetings, take it with you. Your honor for God's servant, take it with you. Your honor for God's men, take it with you. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Right. So don't allow the wokeness of our generation, right? You look at, because I'm going to teach this for a long time, I'm trying to lay some foundation with the first two, three teachings, right? That's why you see me trying to compress a lot in our, from Sunday and even today, right? Don't allow the wokeness of your world to get the best of you. Yeah. A lot of times you see people do certain things, right? Yeah. Eventually, sometimes, you can do something stupid and people will praise you and hail you. But they will not be, sometimes they might not be partakers of the result of you being burnt altogether. Yeah? You might not be partakers of it altogether. You have, think about it. Imagine when you were younger, right? You had some friends that brought negative influence to you. Like I've given you some of the names of people who have who had those tendencies in my life. I remember coming to going to one of you all's family, you all's houses, and some of you, one of you brought attention. And sometimes I just it was just funny when I was driving back home that day, and I was like, oh, interesting. People actually take note of these things, right? So there are people, right, who when you are growing up, imagine the friends you had when you were 10 years ago, no matter whatever your age is, right? Imagine the friends that are pushing you to do certain things that were not bad, not good. And imagine the friends who started doing certain things that were not bad and that were not good, rather, they were bad and none of those things. And imagine where they are today. Now imagine some of the repercussions altogether. Imagine some of the repercussions that you are having to deal with today, and they're not there, they're not here with you to deal with it altogether. Yeah? And they're not here with you today to deal with it. You don't know what's happening in their life. You don't know where they are for some of them, right? But you are the one. I'm trying to say there are some things. You, no matter how the crowd or the mob, right, pushes you to do it, you are the one that will feel the burn on the, that will have the scar on your skin. Be careful. Very important. Altogether, very important. Yeah. So we looked at Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, 2. Beautiful way to introduce again today. So look at Romans 12 to look at the JBL Phillips translation. I'll just read it for you again, like we did on Sunday. Do not let or don't let this world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that ye may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, and it meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of what? True maturity. So look at the Greek words that were used there. Don't be conformed to this world, not fashioning yourself in a certain matter. Look at First Peter 1, if you remember on Sunday. Look at Ephesians 2, the course of this world, walking in darkness, being alienated from that. We also looked at Romans, sorry, Ephesians, Exodus 2, sorry, on Sunday, looking at when Moses was born. We looked at a few things in Moses' writing in Genesis 2, Genesis 1, right? The image of God, what that means, mankind needed help. We looked at that. The help was man. The help was God for man. Altogether, we said the helpmate is not woman for husband, right? It's not wife for husband. No, wife is not taught as a helpmate in Bible. For the word helpmate is used for that one who provides succor, help, right? Deliverance. We said that on Sunday. Salvation. Remember that on Sunday, right? We looked through that. We said that has to be God's, work in the lives of men. So that will by default bring man and God into a relationship. Now we started looking at different kinds of relationships on Sunday. We said we're going to look at that again today, right? Now we said there's a servant master relationship. How do you behave? One of the things that we need to be careful about is bringing the wokeness of our generation, right, into what I'll tell you something for free. I think I've said this to leaders before, right? There's somebody who was at my, who it was my, it was a, not my direct manager, but was a senior person on my team at work, right? And, for like two times I did something that I shouldn't have done at work. So probably it was a case of, I remember, oh yeah, I remember one of them, right? It was, I the first one, I can't remember the first one, but the second one I remember very well was what happened was, ideally, because I came in new, and what I'm talking about happened probably a few weeks, months ago, right? So I came in new to this program, not new per se, but I came, I was on the program before, left, I won't say left really. Okay, he came in new, let me say that differently. He came in new to the program, right? So ideally, based on what you call your SMEs and based on your what you call your reviewers and what you call approvers for people that approve documents and acts and everything, so I'd put all the appropriate managers, my immediate manager's name, her manager was there, do you understand, other managers and other senior program managers as well, and program directors are supposed to be on that meeting, on that approval document as well, they were there. But I, for some reason, I knew him, right? But I didn't think he had that level of oversight, right? On this particular, piece of work, Right. So when I sent it out, right, I sent it out, even though I copied him into the email, right? And you know, what happened, right? He now reached out to me on one of those mornings and said, "Oh, next time you should, I can't remember the exact words he used, but next time ensure that I see it as I approve, you know." And I apologized for it. I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry about this. You know, it was an oversight. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again, you know." But now I didn't know that he had noted what how I apologized few weeks before then. And this is somebody who has, in fact, he's a full British man, right? Altogether, right? Full British man, grew up in England and all of those things. And so we got on a video call, you know, after that, you know, stuff. And it was like the way I apologized, that it felt strange to him. And he said the last time he saw someone apologize that way, I'm not talking of an African man. He said the last time he saw someone apologize that way, right, was when it was actually, I think he mentioned the year, probably 10 years ago or something like that. Right? And in my mind, I'm like, oh my goodness. I didn't even think it was because I grew up learning. I'm going to talk about it somewhere, right, in the coming days. I grew up learning how to own mistakes and apologize properly. What do I mean? Yeah, there's this passive way some of us, you know, and it's not to look down or to say anything negative about anybody, but it's just that if you practice is bad, it's bad, right? So we have a way of deflecting, and it even happens in our relationship. When someone tells you, "I don't like what you did to me," right? You find out, you see some people, they'll say, "I'm sorry," but even you too. Why did you have to add, but even you too? Do you understand, right? Or someone does something bad to you, or someone does something to you, right? Or you do something to someone, someone tells you what you do, right? And the way you just say sorry, you just say apologies. You understand? And in my mind, that never sits well with me. It never sits well, you know, and with me. But you know, it's easy for someone to think, I mean, because I'm a kind of boy. I grew up in a kind of way. No, but when he looked at me, was like, and he said his words were, "That was so brilliant." That he had been a while, he saw someone own up. What I did, it wasn't something that caused any harm. It was just a slight. So I'm saying that if he did not approve that document would have passed without his approval. I could have said, who are you now? If you were that important, you'd have told me from the beginning that don't. I could have said that. I said he had not seen anyone do that in almost 10 years of working in the project management program portfolio world. What am I saying? I'm saying, see, when you actually get your heart involved in what you are doing, there are certain things that will be expected. Don't allow the wokeness of your generation. Right, don't allow the rumors of a generation just make you just behave or just think like and just throw things. No, yeah, you can have honor for saying. So why am I talking about that? Because the first relationship on my list is servant and master relationship. Now, whilst your boss, your company might have a flat system organization, you know, there's a way you can speak honorably to someone that what is your manager, is your master, whilst you're a servant. Are we together? Oh, you don't like the word servant master? Are we together? You can have a say. You can actually have honor for your boss. You can have honor for your colleagues. You can have honor for those who are not your colleagues. I remember, you know, in one of the companies I'm working with, there's one of the persons who usually helps in cleaning and everything. So I use him sometimes, you know, to help cleaning, right? Even when I speak to him, on account of the fact that I speak to him before and I know he's a believer, even when I relate to him, I don't just, it's not beautiful. It's not lovely to be talking down people anyhow. Did you get that? It's not cute. It's not lovely. I'm trying to say talking down people just because of who you think you are or just because of who you think they are or are not. Yeah, you can actually get more honorable. Like I said, honor starts on the heart, right? But you can actually take some deliberate effort, you know. And from that day to the day, I've been wondering. I'm like, I wouldn't have thought that this, you know, or people usually take these kind of things into account, or you know, it means a lot and all of this. I'm like. And he was not pointing my attention to it and said, "You did something like that again a few months ago, and this is what you said as well again." That's brilliant. Let me tell you, there's nobody who repels honor. There's nobody. You can choose to be honorable. You can choose to be honorable. And I'm talking about eye service. You know what they call eye service? No, eye service is not what I'm talking about. You can choose to be a man, a woman of honor. Very, very, very important. Very, very, very important. I went together, right? So we have two factors. We have servant master. We have, friendships. We sat down on a Sunday. We have family relationships where you have siblings relationships as well. You can have marriages in under that as well. You also have parents and children, right? So we looked through Genesis, looked at how, God, the help of man, and how we now saw something important on Sunday, which was where we ended. God with the attributes of father and God with the attributes of mother. Are we together, right? So there's such a thing called having honor for all of God's people, right? So now, why did we look at God as father, God as mother? Really, for lack of better explanations, right? Why did we say God as father, God as mother? It's simple, right? Some of us believe, right? We said we got to certain conclusions, right? Attributes of father in the house was given to God. Attributes of mother was given to God to show you that father and mother are important. Are important virtues as in parenting, or in important positions in parenting, all together. And it's in that relationship we get the fullness of nurturing. All together. The truth is, it is the truth. Yeah. Now, this is not to say people who are in whatever predicament or whatever situation they find themselves, their life is no. It's God's will that the full maturity and nurturing that should be given to a child, right, to cover both the father and the mother. We're together. Yeah? If you like to be woke, and think that what I just said is more than what I said, your wokeness will take you to where you want to be. It is God's will, yeah, that the fullness of nurturing. What I'm trying to say is, right, I'm trying to say no matter how much a man wants to play a woman's role in the life of a child, it is not God's perfect, God's best, God's ideal. Are we together? And no matter how much a woman wants to play the role of a man, it's not finished. That relationship, God's will. Are we together? So are there people as well who eventually, it might be one of their parents that took care of them and eventually they turn out to be good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about, I'm saying ideally, right? There is that God's, and that's why before a child comes into the earth, there must be a man and a woman. There must be. So that there's no mistake as to who. So there's no mistake as to what is the relationship that brought this human being to the world, to the earth. Very important. Very, very important. Altogether. Yeah. In all my saying, I have not said it is more important for, some people have all those, it's more important for the boy child to have a father figure, more important for, I'm not talking about, that's not what, I didn't say anything close to that. Yeah. I'm saying, yeah, there's a thing called rounded, God's ideal roundedness meant for the growth and maturity of a human being as a child. Altogether. Very important. Right, so we looked at, if you look at Matthew's Gospel 18, and let me show you Matthew's Gospel 19. Let me show you something today quickly. Right, honor for relationships, honor for your master, honor for your even as master as well towards servants. Right, as children to parents, as parents to children, all together. Yeah, it's something that must and should exist. Very, very important. All together. Look at Matthew's Gospel 19. Matthew's Gospel 19 as well. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea, beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful that a man put away his wife for every cause? Altogether. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read? You see, have you not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female? Altogether. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. We look at that scripture on Sunday. We said the one flesh, the flesh there means one, there means a card, united. Remember that on Sunday, right? It says, Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What has God's plan been from the concept of marriage from time? It is a male man and a female man. God's plan, it is male and female. Now, on account of that relationship, what happens? There's such a thing called honor required, right? Honor required. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, or you can go into... Look at verse 17, where we usually read for, beginning of the year. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, running in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we're together. So there's not a thing called honor for your husband and honor for your wife. Honor for your wife and honor for your husband. Are we together? I'm not going to turn this to marriage counseling class. Are we together? But you know, that's basic, right? So don't forget, when we read Romans 12, right, verse 11, right, honoring one another. Are we together, right? Be kindly affectionate one to another. Are we together? Yeah, that's all genders involved. Let me say that different. Not all genders involved. Are we together? That is male and female involved. You get the point? Yeah, male, original male, original female. Well, don't mind, I'm getting naughty, right? So submitting yourselves one to another. So submitting yourselves one to another is both male and female. You get the point, right? So, but look at what now happens in verse 22, right? There's really a thing called wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Are we together? So it means this kind of submission that is taught in Ephesians 5, verse 22, right, is a submission that is limited to a wife to her own husband. You see that again? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Are we together? For the husband is the head of the wife. Let me say that clearly once in God's palace. Yeah, yeah. In God's palace, we believe that the head of the home is the man. Okay, the head of the moon is the male man. That is the husband. Are we together? If it wants to, get troublesome, and what I just said is what it is in God's palace. As you know, why? A lot of times, because of some extremes that people go. You know, I said this on Sunday, right? I found out that because things went too extreme. People now, because they want to now tackle those extremes, they go the other way extreme. Do you understand? Right? Yeah. Do people take wives submitting your husband extreme? Oh, yes, a million times, yes. That's an extreme. But because it's an extreme, does not mean you now go and teach another extreme that both male and female in the house have mutual headship and mutual submission. For the husband is the head of the home. Now, if you want us to get to series where we'll explain this in details, that's okay for the days ahead. But since for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, which wife is that? Not head of every wife, is that correct? Because the wife that submits is to her own husband. You got the point, right? It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So to teach mutual submission and mutual headship. So today you are the head, though. Eh? Imagine I see my wife there and say today you are the head. For this week, you are the head. Take headship, right? But next week, I will recover. I'll come back. Then when I talk, we'll do it 1 week in, 1 week out. No. Yeah. To tackle the extremes that people go with the submission and headship conversation, what we need to do is just stay within the confines of the word. It's simple. In staying with the confines of the word, we'll be satisfied there. You get the point? Yeah, but to now go ahead and now go to one extreme and now say, no, the Bible does not teach that the husband is the head of the home. And the Bible means that, do you know why I'm saying this? I remember I was doing a counseling for a couple, right, in 2019. Yeah, I can call their names to you. I did a counseling for a couple, right? And that was the time when that, ideology was making sense to me, I didn't bought it fully. Like I said, I told you in 2020, actually, I just remembered right now, it was just around the COVID, era, So like I said, I've taken a step back to actually understand what God's word is teaching and what God's word is saying. And I didn't match my words on Sunday when I said, the way we go one extreme to tackle another extreme will put us in trouble. And what example did I give you on Sunday? I gave you the concept of giving. Remember that? Yeah, right? Because people give and, they tell them that you'll be rich tomorrow by giving. That's an extreme of giving. But there's such a thing in teaching those, in trying to tackle it, what some of us did by mistake. And that's why I told you I'm trying to recover some grounds. And we're together. We're all growing, right? Yeah? But some of the mistakes we made was that we now put selfishness. And like I said something, right? It's been over 10 years that I can remember that 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, probably 15 years ago was the last time I gave 10%. What is 10%? You should outgrow 10%. If they're still fighting you to give 10%, you are a baby Christian. How can spiritual growth will first be seen primarily in your conduct and in your practice of the word? You understand? You can, if you like, give tongues interpretation. If you like, give revelation, be accurate in what those ones are part of it, too, right? But how you forgive, how you let go, how you give, that's how we measure you. That's how you should measure your spiritual growth. Yes, that's the point. It's okay to pray 20 hours a week and increase the 40. That's beautiful spiritual growth. But it is how well are you doing the word? At that point. So you find yourself in a position where, for instance, you know, you've heard the word, yeah? So imagine me, and I gave an example on Sunday. You can go back to listen to that, or some of you who were in church already, who heard of some of the things we said, right? We realized that the giving in church dropped drastically. He had to start picking up again. Not that people lost their jobs. They just became stingy, right? I remember the last time I was 10%, 10%, 10, 10, 10. I should be ashamed of myself. If at this phase of my Christian life, I'm struggling to give 10% because I heard the word of God. Yeah, is that the point? So a lot of times, what happens, I take responsibility for it as a pastor. I was together, which was what made me say, if I was going to start a church anywhere in the world, I will ensure that we start with, you know, we ensure that before we have that opportunity for people to give, there's a proper doctrinal teaching. And we did that for almost 18, 20 months as a church. And we're together. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for the privilege to afford and the provision from God as well. Yeah, but don't use one extreme. Don't, because a man is lording headship over his wife. Are we together? I'm forcing her. Submit. Now go one extreme and say, I hope you know that the Bible does not teach that the wife should submit to the husband. Yeah, that is a mutual. Why do we say mutual? So I was trying to tell you, 2020, I know the couple, I can call their names right now. Yeah, and you know, in that meeting, you know, and I just said something in passing. In fact, I didn't button to it, but I just mentioned it, you know. And one of the mistakes I made on that call, right, was I was emphasizing verse 21 more than verse 22 to verse 29. Right? What does emphasizing verse 21 mean? You are painting a picture of mutual honor. Mutual. And that's the same thing that happens as well for local church, where we think that there's such a thing called mutual honor, right? You honor your pastor honor you as well. So meeting yourself one to another. I hope you know that there's a difference. Are we together? There's a difference. That's just the truth, right? Everybody should be honored. Everybody, both member, both, you know, non-member, ex-member, future member, pastor, everybody should be honored. But there are clear-cut conversations about specific kinds and types. To not acknowledge those things is to live in self-deceit, no matter how brilliant it sounds. Do you get the point? You get the point. So one of the partners, one of the people in that relationship, actually, they were about to get married. And they asked a very intelligent question that made me pause on that path. Very brilliant question. Very brilliant question. Altogether. Till today, I still think on the question. Till today. Altogether. So there is the submitting yourselves one to another. And there is the next verse. I wish Paul ended there. He says, wife, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Are we together? As unto the Lord. Right? He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. See what he used to explain that. Even as Christ is the head of the church. So for us to teach mutual submission is to say and to teach that as the church submits to Christ, Christ at some point also submits to the church. Are we together? Now, like I told you, I'm not going to dive into the use of the word submission. You know, some of us think the word submission there just means subjugation. No, they are two different conversations. Are we together? Right? Yeah, so it says, wives, submit unto your husband, then offer the husband the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject, look at that carefully. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own, emphasis, their own husbands. Now look at verse 25. Husband and love your wife. Are we together? Yeah, so there are clear-cut conversations. Are we together? That are in scriptures. So husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are we together? And gave himself for it. Right? It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, right, by the blood, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, right? Not having spots, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his flesh, but nourished and cherished, even as the Lord the church. altogether, right? As a lot of the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man live, that's Genesis 2, right? Leave, if a man shall leave and cleave, right? I shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Right? Look at the Hebrew word, ikad, right? United, right? Yeah, and togetherness, right? So this is a great mystery. So Paul picks that narrative, are we together? Same thing Moses did. Moses employed the concept of marriage to teach about relationship between God and man in Genesis. So let me say that differently. Moses employed the concept of marriage to teach about supernatural spiritual realities in Genesis. Are we together? Paul employs the use of marriage to teach about supernatural realities in Ephesians. Yeah, so he says, this is great mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife, she reverences her husband. Yeah, that he says, husband. Let every one of you now be husbands, yeah, in particular, so love his wife, does not mean wife should not love husband as well, right? And when he says that the wife sees that she reverences her husband, does not mean that husband will not reverence her wife as well. You get the point? There's no point going all out. No, there's no point going all extreme. You're just trying to use one extreme to take another extreme. All together, right? It's part of those extreme narratives that now makes believers. Have you not realized that believers in our world behave more unruly than previous worlds, and it's getting worse by the day? It's because a lot of times, as pastors, in our innocence, some of the things we are seeing are only we going extremes, right? To tackle certain extremes. Are we together? Right, you see a pastor, for instance, who asks his members to go and eat grass. Is that an extreme? Yeah, you can call that an extreme. I was together, right? But in your quest to deal with that concept, right, you ensure that you don't take away the place of a pastor's authority over the life of a member, or the pastor's authority over the life or over the existence of a local church. Who will God hold accountable for the actions and inactions in God's palace? It's not you. Is the pastor. You get that? Very, very important. So when it comes to marital relationships, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, right, ensure that you have, so it means you will not treat your wife with contempt, you will not treat your husband with contempt, it means you will not disregard your wife, you will not disregard your husband. Are we together? It means you will not insult your wife, you will not insult your husband. Are we together? There is honor for each other. You can build a home of honor. Altogether, right? Even when your husband does something to you or your wife does something to you, how do you communicate it? Learn to ensure that you put honor as the foundation of what you will say. Altogether, learn to ensure that if you think, you know, sometimes you just be boiling, and sometimes that's not the best time to talk, both male and female, it's for both. Altogether, right? You understand what happens in your home, what is tolerated in your home, what is accepted in your home, what is this in your, you know, and you ensure that you're what? Having a sense of honor. Are we together? So let me just give you a few examples of those who had. Let me show you one in Romans today. I didn't know time had gone this much. Look at Romans 16. But I thought that I'll just read out some other ones for you. So there is marital relationship that exists, and we see that later across scripture. So for instance, we have Romans 16. Look at Romans 16, verse 3. Romans 16:3, quit Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Are we together? So we have Priscilla and Aquila. They are married men. They are married. They are a couple, and they are active in ministry. As you know, we close service on Sunday, right? Don't let anybody deceive you. Right, for the believer, right, the most important relationship is spiritual, supernatural relationship, not physical relationship. You know, sometimes in your quest of trying to prove to your wife or to your husband or to your children that you love them, you say, I hope you know. Imagine, I feel like you should run when you see a woman say to you, you know, I love you more than I love God. I feel like you should run. Are we together, right? I feel like you should run. Are we together, right? God, who has laid down his life for humanity. As you look at the world today, a lot of people are still rejected that extent of love. Are we together, right? Are we together, right? Yeah. So when you look at a relationship, so in Bible, so that's why you see Jesus, for instance, will be with his disciples, and they'll come and tell him and say, your mom is outside, your sisters are outside, your siblings are outside, rather than your mom, your family are outside. And he said, oh, who are my parents? Who are my families? Who are my relatives? save you that are with me. He didn't. It does not mean that he disregarded that reality. No, that has not the meaning. That's why eventually you see, even upon resurrection, you still see that his brother James, right, and his mother will be found in the temple listening to his teaching. So that means he didn't discard them, but he made them understand that you cannot afford to put. What I'm trying to say to you is, even as your husband and as a wife, you must ensure that the first way you see yourselves, right, is first from the supernatural, spiritual point of view. There's a spiritual angle to your life. You get the point. There's a supernatural angle to your life altogether, right? And that's why you find out a lot of times, you know, you tend to forgive people who are not your spouse or who's not your spouse quicker than you forgive your spouse. It's because you have mixed it. You've put the priority. You've misplaced the priority altogether. Because first you see your husband as a believer. Are we together, right? So how you treat other believers as well, in that you forgive quickly, you should apply that as well to your relationship. Altogether, it's all part of honor. Very, 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 very important. You get the point? Very important. Praise God forevermore. So Priscilla Aquila were members in ministry, were ministers rather in ministry. Paul says they were my helpers. They have they, for who have for my life, they are for my life, lay down their own necks. So the relationship in scripture. Some other examples you see in scriptures of relationship, you have Moses, and you have you can look at Moses actually. Yeah, but you have Zechariah, you have Elizabeth, Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? You have those parents of John, you have Mary and Joseph, you have Abraham and Sarah. You get that in scriptures, you have Isaac, Rebecca, you have Adam and Eve right from beginning. And I just give you an example here. So marital relationships are taught in scriptures, and believers are found to be engaged in those kind of relationships. So if we are to honor God, it means we will honor those relationships. Write that in your note. I'll read that again. Marital relationships are taught in scriptures, and because believers engage in it. So if believers engage in it means that believers who are in the quest to honor God, right, they must ensure they honor those relationships altogether. Yeah. So we have husband, wife. Let's look at brother and sister. Let me just show you one quickly. You have Cain and Abel. Look at Genesis 4, sorry. Genesis 4, verse 1. I hope you get the points of what is communicated today. Very important. Genesis 4, verse 1, right? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, right? And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, right? And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Altogether, right? So who is the brother of Cain? Abel. The word their brother there is the word in the Hebrew, ach, is a word that implies kindred. Altogether, kindred. Just in the Greek, we call it adelphos. Remember that word, adelphos, right? Adelphos is, you know, the Greek word for ach, which is what brother or brethren. Right, so Adelphos is the word Greek, right? And Adelphos just really means so Adelphos is gotten from two words, I put together, right? From a fundamental word, sorry, Delphos, and Delphos just speaks about womb. So Adelphos means that of a womb or from the same womb or the same kind of womb. Adelphos. So the Greek word brother, I'm going to go over again. Hebrew word is ACH, right? And implies kindred, which are people of the same family that are united by, you know, certain circumstances and facts, definitely. Then the Greek word is adelphos, from the Greek word, root word, which means womb. All together, right? So there's a common parentage. Let's look at some teachers around that in Ephesians. You can write Numbers 26 down, Numbers 26, 59. Numbers 26, 59, right? And name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister, right? That's Numbers 26, verse 59. You see that the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed. So Jochebed was the Jochebed is the was the mother, and Amram was the father of Moses. Moses had two brethren, a brother and a sister, Miriam and Aaron. Aaron and Miriam were siblings of Moses. You get the point? So we have siblings relationship in the Bible. Are we together? But which one was Aaron and okay? So Aquila and Priscilla, which relationship were they to prioritize? Spiritual over physical. That's the point. Why did I say spiritual is the most important, right? Over physical. Physical ends in this world. Yeah, the moment anyone loses their life in this world, you don't have wife in the future, in the world ahead. No. Are we together? You are now all united by God's spirit. We're now all united by God's blood. Are we together through the resurrection? You get the point? So Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, was there a supernatural relationship that existed within them? Yes. Are we together? Right? Which one we need to prioritize more? If they prioritize that more, they will not dishonorably dishonor the man Moses. Are we together? For in our supernatural relationship, we can have brothers and sisters, and there'll be such a thing called supernatural relationship that exists between brothers and sisters. You get the point? Very, very important, right? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. Exodus 4, sorry. I just say Ephesians. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, verse 14. I'm sorry. Exodus 4, 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well." And also, "Behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Altogether, is not Aaron Levite thy brother? Right? I said Exodus 4. If you look at Exodus 7, verse 1. So you see, brother and sister, and the Lord said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a god of Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy spokesperson." That's what Nabai, prophets. Are we together? Yeah, so they had common parentage. You get the point? Common parentage, right? So if you look at, let's look at Jesus for our time. Look at Mark 6. Mark 6, 2. Mark 6, 2. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Then look at verse 3. It says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James?" So Jesus had brothers. Which relationship did James prioritize with his brother Jesus? Supernatural. Jesus became his pastor. You get the point? Moses became the pastor of Aaron, became the man, the God's vessel, God's servant. Are we together? Yeah? So God wants to use all of humanity, but all of humanity will not be used the same way. Please write that in your notes. God wants to use all of humanity. Yeah? There are men that God has certain specific required assignments for their lives, and it's scripture. I was together. You know, I was talking about it on Sunday. One of the things you need to learn to know as a believer is know your place and know it quickly. Yeah? Know your place, know it quickly. Yeah? There are certain corrections in local church. You have no right. Yeah? You have no right to bring that correction to a member in the church, particularly if you are not even a cell member or cell leader of that person, or you are not even a leader of any department to that person. You have no right. That's dishonor. That's disorderliness. Are we together? Yeah. But you have every right to report to your pastor, report to your leader, mention to your pastor, mention to your leader, to go ahead and how to bring correction to that. More often than not, correction that might come and not be what will please your eyes. But that's not your place. All together. So it's high time you know your place. You know, you hear people jumping up and saying, you know, even the Bible, Paul, Bible says in Galatians 2, Paul withstood Peter. Yeah. And Paul even wrote it in his letter. Are we together? Who is Paul? So, it was a question I think Pastor was teaching about a couple months ago. And somebody was just, you know, saying, you know, even Paul withstood Peter to his face. Where was Peter when Peter, where was Paul when Peter won his first 3,000 souls? We all know that doctrine. We all know the teaching. Correct, beautiful. Yeah, Peter was somebody who had won 3,000 souls. Paul was still killing Christians. Even as when Paul was being, you know, stoning Stephen, Peter was winning how many thousands of souls altogether. But Bible says Peter, yeah, he did something wrong and Paul withstood him. Where did Paul withstand Peter? Paul withstood Peter. I'm going to teach that later in this series. Paul withstood Peter within Paul's jurisdiction. Are we together? You know, I remember Pastor was saying something to someone. He said, "So now you're arguing that." So people use the argument to say, "We can rebuke anybody. If Pastor misbehaves, he collects." Are we together? Are we together? Right? There is Peter and there is Paul. Are we together? And there are others who were also disciples of Jesus. And Paul will also have disciples. Also, there will be people who will lead Paul into, you know, ministry and all those kind of things. But not everybody has the right to say any and everything in the local church within the body of Christ as a whole. Are we together? Right? So Peter withstood Paul withstood Peter, right, to his face. Paul wrote it down. We understand that. Yeah. But you must understand, which of them are you? Have you thought about the labor of the man called Paul? Do you know what Paul had done? Do you know that Paul's letters were read by even Peter? Are we together? Paul, who never met Jesus, was actually, his letters were even read by Peter. And Peter acknowledges in his writing, in Peter's, right? He says, an account that he loves something of God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according as he has written in his account, are we together, right? Are we together, right? That the long suffering. So the truth is that you need to understand and know your place. Praise God forevermore. I were together, right? So Jesus will say, I'm sorry, Mark 6 will say, is not this the carpenter's son, right? Son of the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, right? And are not his sisters here with us? So Jesus had brothers and sisters. But happy are you when your brother, when your sister is somebody who has a position of authority and influence on spiritual, supernatural matters, and you give appropriate, adequate honor to that person. I was together. Very, very, very important. That doesn't kill your physical relationship. But you know, you need to learn to be smart to know where to draw the line. I was together. Know where to draw the line. Know how to act. I was together in those kind of relationships. Look at John 1:45. John chapter 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom was in the law and the prophets did write about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So and Nathanael said unto him, can there anything good come out from Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see Jesus of Nazareth. Come and said, behold, an Israelite indeed. We saw this as a word of knowledge and all of those things. If you look at John 6:42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, right? So I went to John 1:45 to show you Jesus, the son of Joseph, right? So, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Altogether, right? I came down from heaven. So Jesus gives a wider implication, really, on, you know, relationships, right? And ties that exist with other people. Look at Matthew 12:46. Matthew 12:46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak with them, right? Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But look at what Jesus said. This is what I explained earlier on. Jesus now answered and said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He says, and he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and brethren. I was together. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. All right? So Jesus teaches a prioritization of supernatural relationships, spiritual relationships. I was together, right? Jesus teaches a priority of supernatural activities. I was together, right? And all of that. So naturally, a man, a woman, they give birth to children. And in those giving birth to those children, it's God's will that that is how they will come into earth. But once they become believers, there's something else that exists amongst them. And that's what? The supernatural correlation. Because they are now brought into the Adelphos, right? The brethrenhood or brotherhood, as we say. Altogether, right? So Christ, in the real sense, right, will bring us into a relationship with his Father. Christ will bring us into a relationship with himself. And every other person he brings into that relationship, right, will be related to us. So we are related by blood. Is that correct? But the blood will be the blood of Jesus. Altogether, the work of Jesus, the Spirit of God. Altogether. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2:7. I ended here on Sunday. I just quoted it, but I said I was going to get there. Look at 1 Peter 2:17. So we've seen marital relationship when the father and mother in a marital relationship, when the father and mother in a marital relationship give birth to children, they become siblings. Then that becomes siblings relationship. In that siblings relationship, with all of them are born again, there's now supernatural relationship. Listen to what I'm trying to say. So there are families where the father, the mother are not Christians, or other siblings are not Christians. Are we together? Right? When you look on the grand scheme of things, right, the most important connection, right, is the because the supernatural relationship is one that outweighs the world. It transcends beyond this ethnic world, this physical cosmic world, basically. Are we together, right? So we must ensure that that's where you place your emphasis. You get the point, right? So when you see your husband, you see your wife, you must also always understand there's a supernatural relationship that exists. And because of that, it means you give due honor where required. So when you have a brother, so look at it very well. When you have a father, and you have a grandfather, and they are all Christians. When it comes to supernatural relationships, you all are brethren. Did you get what I just said? Bible does not teach senior brother. You get the point? Does not teach grand senior brother. So when it comes to relationship, your grandfather is your brother in Christ. And that relationship transcends beyond this world. You get the point? So there's honor due for that relationship as a senior man in the flesh. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:17. Look at verse 13. We're going to come back to this properly in the days to come, but look at verse 13 to 17 quickly. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the law's sake, whether it be to kings or to supremes or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So it starts talking about governments. Are we together? Yeah. There's such a thing called submitting yourself to the leadership of your country. Are we together? Yeah, so the thing called submitting yourself to leadership of your country, leadership of your organization, right? Leadership of wherever you find yourself, right? There are laws in place, you honor, you regard it. Now look at verse 15. For so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. You get the point? Yeah, some believers now, because they are Christians, they just behave anyhow when it comes to law, you know, and things of the law. Right, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. You get those kind of, you know, things that have been said, which is not for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Look at 17. Honor all men. Look, this is what I'm just reading to you right now, verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Honor all men. Peter now says, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. The word there, brotherhood, is the word that you can translate to what you call fraternity. You know what you call fraternity? Yeah? Fraternity, that's the word, their brotherhood. It means we are bonded and bound together by blood. That's fraternity. All together. And that blood is going to be the work of Christ Jesus through his spirit. You get the point? We've said that over time. All together. So Jesus says, love the fraternity. There's such a thing called loving the fraternity. There's such a thing called loving your brethren. That's why if you look through the things we believe in as a church, some of the things we say there is honor and love and passion for members of the local church, as well as members of the body of Christ. Yeah, if you look through our church core values, right? Help, right? Yeah, honor, 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 honor. Very, 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 very important. Very important. Prayer and the word help. E is excellence with decency. Then L, we have it as love, right? Love for saints. Then we have P as well, passion. Right, so ensure that you love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. So it means the sense of honor that is expected for people around you with church in church as well. So when you see a brother in Christ, are we together? When you see a brother in Christ, what happens? You extend love, you extend honor. You extend love, you extend honor. Very, 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 very important. Very important. So we must always remember that we have one identity in Christ. And that identity in Christ, right, brings us into a fraternity or a family. Peter says, honor all men or honor all. He now says, love the brotherhood, right? Yeah, fear. That means you will honor all men, that honor is due for all men, and there will be that which is definite, particular for fraternity. Praise God forevermore. Those who have drank of the same blood. You get the point, right? That's fraternity, right? So we have an identity in Christ. That brings us into a family. And I wrote this in my notes. I said, there is a spiritual relationship that exists among believers, and this supersedes our earthly relationship. Please note that in your book. There's a spiritual relationship that exists amongst believers, and this, all together, right, supersedes our earthly relationship. Now, that does not mean that earthly relationships are to go and trash them. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Altogether. Yeah. It doesn't mean that your earthly relationship, your earthly relationship with your parents, your siblings, you neglect them. No. They must be honored as well. However, you must always understand that your relationship with your wife, that is, you are married. Understand? Yeah. You are married to your wife. Altogether. You are married to your husband. Yeah. You will not, your wife, your husband, right? You will not all be in the same sphere forever. Altogether. There will be a time when the mortality will drop down. We're together, right? And there'll be a world outside of this world. And that relationship in the real sense that exists, that already exists now, is what will transcend beyond this point or time T, so to say, in our world. So don't neglect your earthly relation. That's not what is being preached here. We must understand there is love for brotherhood. Together, always remind yourself, right, that things, these relationships, they don't go beyond this earth. So the relationship believers have with one another in Christ is supernatural, it's spiritual, and it's eternal. Now, so since we honor God, we would honor relationships. So there's a sense of honor that is required for siblings relationship, parental relationship, and marriage relationship. I'm going to focus on those three today, right? I'll read it again. Since we are to honor God, yeah, it means we would honor relationships. And since believers, participate in relationship or are involved in relationship with siblings, relationship with parents, relationship as couples, it means that there is a sense of honor that is required in those relationships. Altogether, now we'll look through servant and master on Sunday and pay some attention to some of those things. So what have we done today? We started looking at different kinds of relationships. Looked at marriage, looked at husband, looked at wife in the home. We get that. Then we looked at children, relationship between husband, wife, and children. Are we together? Right? So it means that in the grand scheme of things, whilst your child is your child, the moment your child becomes born again, your child becomes what? Your child becomes what? Your sibling in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Right? So a time will come, right, where you would have a child. For instance, I will have a child as a pastor, right? A time will come, right, and I'll refer to my child as brother, as sister. You get the point? Yeah? Because for we are brothers and sisters in Christ, yet father and son or daughter to me. Yeah? Always remember that, right? Don't let anybody whine you. The most vital relationship is that of spiritual relationship. Out together. Very, very well. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. This beautiful last